Well, good morning. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We are delighted to have you with us today. It's a blessing for us today to have a missionary report, one of the blessings for the church age, recorded in the book of Acts. A number of times when Paul or Barnabas or any of the apostles were traveling and they would report back to a congregation that had sent them forth, a congregation that had been praying for them and supporting them and loving them, then it was a blessing for the missionaries to return back to that congregation and to report on the grace of what the Lord had accomplished. We're really excited because we were here a year ago, in January a year ago, when Mario came and spoke to us about returning to the mission field. And if you were here at that report, you will recall that Mario had been a missionary in previous years, had been in Aguascalientes, Mexico. ¿Está bien? All right. And got to dust off my high school Spanish when Mario comes to town. Been a missionary in Aguascalientes for many, many years, and then out of the ministry for a number of years, and then praying about what the Lord was going to do, and the Lord opened a door and put him back to work, put him back to the mission field. And this time it was Nicaragua, and with Village Ministries International, to go down to Estelí, Nicaragua, with Mark and Rusty Griffin out of Oklahoma City and their ministry there in Nicaragua. So it's been a year, and we can tell, obviously, he lived through it. He survived. And more than that, the grace of God has been abundant. And Mario wants to share that with us today. So Mario, please bring us your report.
Buenos días. Bueno, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give us this opportunity to share what you have done, what you're doing in Central America, in that part of Central America called Nicaragua. We just pray that you give us your words and you take over. We are completely unprepared for, compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to you, we just want to be useful. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for your blessings, your protection as we travel and share what you have done. Share your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like Pastor Thame used to call it, let's do a little bit of bragamony, or testimony. My name is Mario Garcia Macias, short here, Mario Garcia. I am an American citizen now. I became an American citizen in November 20th, 2012. And thankful. I love this country. I love freedom. I love free market. I'm not asking you to vote for me, but I love the opportunities in this country. I love the freedom that somebody else has paid for with their blood, the sacrifice. Remember being a Mexican, little Mexican boy in school, and my teacher teaching me about civics and my flag and my national anthem and all the, you know, you're Mexican. And she's probably, turning on her grave right now because I have decided to become an American citizen and I love this country. And but that doesn't mean I hate Mexico. I love Mexico too. But I am working in Nicaragua and I am a citizen of heaven. So I'm confused. Before we begin, I would like to apologize or ask for your forgiveness for the things I'm going to say. I learned this from an old friend of mine. I said, Raul, why do you apologize before you start talking? Well, he said, Mario, because I have always been sorry for the things I say, but I've never been sorry when I shut up. So I apologize beforehand. I might talk about some things that only Texas will understand and not New York. But you'll probably, I hope you don't get offended, because I'm going to be very clear and very about the things that I have gone through. I have gone through two religions, Catholic. I was born and raised in the Catholic faith. And also the Jehovah's Witness after that. So none of those religions gave me what I needed to live a life that, you know, the life that God wants me to live. Only Christ could give it to me by His grace, by His work on the cross. And I'm very thankful for that. I remember being a Catholic and the father, the priest, telling us that, you know, if you are not in the Holy Mother Catholic Church, you are going to hell. And I thought, wow, you know, there's a lot of Catholics out there, and there's a lot of non-Catholics out there, and everybody who's not Catholic is going to hell. And if you don't belong to the Mother Church, the Catholic Church, then you're going to hell. That's what he told us. So you grow up and you're raised in fear of someday, you know, not being in a Catholic enough, or not going to Mass enough, or not working enough, and going to hell. And in being a Jehovah Witness, they taught me that that was the truth. There's no other truth. We were right. Everybody else was wrong. And I was ready to die and defend the Jehovah's Witness faith. I remember my first Bible class. I thought the first time I stand behind the pulpit was in a Kingdom Hall of the Jehovah's Witness, and I was 13 years old. They trained us very hard on Saturdays. Every Saturday we had Bible training. They gave us a lot of Bible verses. And I, you know, I grew up receiving their teaching until a Catholic friend of mine said, "Mario, do you know that the Bible says, 'My Lord and my God'? Do you know that Thomas told Christ, 'My Lord and my God'?" And I thought, you know, he's right. There's something wrong about this Jehovah's Witness doctrine. Because Thomas did say that, and Christ didn't say, "Oh, you be quiet, Thomas. I'm a human, you know, a glorified human." He didn't say that. And then the Lord used, this is the irony, the Lord used a Seventh-day Adventist lady, an old lady. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses are related to the Seventh-day Adventist, if you study their history. So anyway, an old little old lady, Seventh-day Adventist, one time told me, "Mario, you're a hypocrite and a liar." And I said, "What have I done to you? What's wrong? Why are you calling me these things?" And she said, "Well, you are, because you only study some verses of the Bible and you don't study the other verses of the Bible that talk about Christ, you know, being God. You just study the humanity of Christ, but you don't study the deity of Christ." And you know what? She was right. That little old lady was right. So God used this Catholic friend and this Seventh-day Adventist lady to produce some kind of question in my head, and to start going into the, you know, training classes, Jehovah Witness classes, with a different, with something else. You know, God started implanting something in there to make me question the theology. So next Bible class, Bible or Watchtower class, I didn't go, you know, just to swallow everything. I went to question things. But I didn't question it loudly or, you know, audibly. It was just in my head. And then the Lord used a good old American missionary to tell me the gospel in a very simple way. So I went through all that, and I'm very happy that the Lord used a gradual process of taking me out of the religions and leading me to the knowledge of his son. After that, I saw the visions in the church, and I told the Lord, "Lord, you need to take me to, I want to study the Bible, but I don't want to teach anybody. I just want to share it. I just want to know it for myself, because I see a lot of differences and, you know, divisions. And, you know, the missionary was fighting with the pastor in the Baptist church where I grew up, little old Baptist mission. And the missionary believed that no decent women should wear jeans. And the pastor didn't really care about that. So the missionary was more legalistic. The missionary who led me to the Lord was more legalistic than the pastor. So, and I saw this, you know, these differences, you know. And I told the Lord, "Lord, please take me somewhere where I can learn." So he took me to Tulsa Seminary of Biblical Languages in Tulsa, Oklahoma, under Glenn Carnegie. And I'm very thankful for that. I remember the classes were in English, and I didn't know too much English then. And I remember all the teaching, you know, Greek and Hebrew and history and geography, theology. And I remember crying one night, and I told my wife, "I want to go back to Mexico. I miss my mom's tortillas." And I don't like this. It's just too hard. I didn't ask for this. Well, I did. But I was, you know. And my wife said, "No. You pray to God to come to a good school. You're staying." Good woman. The Cunninghams are kind of stubborn, so she was very stubborn, and so she made me stay. So I finished seminary. Anyway, that's the story in a few words. I am I was born in a little town called La Luz, which is a very little village. At that time, I knew everybody in town, in the village. And everybody knew me, and I knew all the names of everybody who lived in town, and they also did the same. About 200 people, so it's not that bad to memorize 200 names. You know, Mrs. So and So lives here, and you know, you know everybody. So we didn't have electricity, we didn't have a lot of commodities that you guys enjoyed at that time, and I remember my mom. Tell me something very, very interesting. You know, the Aguascalientes is a semi-desert area, and you don't have too much cedars or pine trees. And the semi-desert, where I'm from, you have cactus and dust and rocks. And if you lift up a rock, you see a scorpion underneath, you know, the rocks. So we grew up with not too much wood to cook our food. So my mom told me, "Mario, you need to go get me some cow pies." You know what a cow pie is, don't you? You live in Texas, right? A cow pie is a piece of material that falls from a certain source. And if it falls on a certain way, it looks like a pie. Because gravity, you know, Newton's law, the gravity, you know, helps and shapes it like a pie. It falls in such a density that, you know, well, I don't have to go through that, but... So I went to look for some cow pies, and I look at pictures of the pioneer lady with a wheelbarrow with some cow pies on the wheelbarrow, and I said, I remember doing that, and that wasn't very long ago, you know, on my wheelbarrow looking for some cow pies to cook beans. And so when I grabbed the cow pies and took them to my mom. She started cooking beans. You know, you use a clay pot. Cow pies have the characteristic that they last longer. They burn slower. And they cook beans, you know, very good. The only thing is the smell. It's just a little bit more organic than propane or methane butane. Methane has a little smell too, so... But we won't go into that. Anyway, and I remember the cow pie exploding, you know. And my mom saying, you know, your selection of cow pies is not as poor. I said, Mom, how can you select cow pies in a rich way or in a different way? I said, listen, when you go pick up a cow pie, please pick up one that's on top of grass, not one on top of rocks. You know, rocks get humid with the humidity of the pie, and they explode when you burn them. And if a rock explodes in front of your mom's face, you know, something can happen. And if it explodes and then it breaks the clay where the beans are cooking, well, you don't eat beans that day. So you're left hungry because of you made a poor selection of a cow pie. I grew up there and with that kind of commodity. And I remember recently, 3 years ago, I told my mom, Mom, I remember that we used to cook food with cow pies. Can you cook me some beans with cow pies again? And sure enough, she did. And the house smelled terrible. And I don't, you know, it just makes you think, you know, I'm glad for propane now. So it doesn't have that smell. Anyway, I grew up in La Luz. This missionary came one time, and he was a doctor. His name is Jim Ansiger. He led me to the Lord after all the Catholic and the Jehovah's Witness stories. And I wanted to fight. I wanted to have a debate with him because I was a Jehovah's Witness then, and he was a Baptist. And I thought, well, I'm true. I have the truth. I know more than he does. I'm going to have a debate with him. You know, and I was trained with the Jehovah's Witness, and they give you a lot of verses. They tell you, you know, if you go knock on doors and they give you a verse of the Bible, you give them this verse. So that you fight, you shoot verses at people, you know, but certain verses, not all of them. And so I wanted to have a debate with this missionary. He was a doctor, a medical doctor. He was also a pilot and a missionary. And he was also a gun smuggler, brother. I don't tell that to anybody. So just to people that I trust. So anyway, he led me to the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to have a debate with you. I want to fight with you. I just, you know, we meet in such and such street, and we're there on Sundays at this time. You're invited to come. That's all he said. He didn't tell me anything about the Lord or anything. And I remember riding my bicycle, going through, you know, the address that he told me. And I hear people singing, you know, Cristo me ama, Cristo me ama, Cristo me ama, la Biblia dice así. You know that song, don't you? And I go in, and everybody hugs me, and they say, Brother Mario, welcome, you know. And I wasn't a brother then, but they treat me like one, and I attended church. And I started giving the gospel to my family, but I wasn't saved. You know, it's one of those backward things. After that, the Dr. Ansiger said, Mario, you're evangelizing already in your family. And do you know the gospel? I said, well, I think I do. I mean, it's receive Christ, right? Yeah, but have you believed in Christ? And I said, well... what is that? So he grabbed me and put me in his office, sat me down, and he gave me the gospel. Very clear, very simple. And that day I believed in Christ. That was in 1975. And I'm thankful, you know. It hasn't been all smooth, rose petals, but here we are. Here we are doing his ministry. Okay, let's look at some pictures real quick, and I'm going to show you what the Lord is doing in Nicaragua. Well, that's the team. The darkest, you know who it is, right? You can tell Nicaraguans, they're a little bit lighter than I am. For some reason, I don't know. But there's Mark and Rusty Griffin. There's Carlos, and there's Hector. Hector is the translator. Carlos is not working with us anymore. But that's the team. Mark and Rusty, Hector and I live in the same house, so pray for Hector and Mark and Rusty, because I am a morning person, they're not morning people, and I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning making a lot of noise, singing songs and waking up everybody, and they don't like that. So They're having a quiet time right now. We live in the same house. Hector and Johaida live upstairs, and their two kids. And Mark and Rusty live downstairs, and I also live downstairs beside Mark and Rusty. So pray for Mark and Rusty and Hector and Johaida. So they have to put up with me. So right now they're enjoying their time because Mario is not there making all kinds of noise and waking everybody up. But that's the team. We do go to villages where nobody wants to go sometimes. We have an old pickup truck, diesel, four-cylinder, Toyota. And we go to villages and we take materials. We train pastors. We usually have groups of 20 to 30 pastors in each village. Right now we have three villages that we're going to. And we teach foundations, basic Bible doctrine. And we also want to start a seminary this year, next month. And that was a dream that I had last year, and I shared it with you. And guess what? 2 weeks ago, a Baptist pastor from Esteli, where we are, called Mark, said, "Mark, will you train my people?" And I said, "Thank you, Lord." So we're going to do a seminary. We're going to do Greek and Hebrew. We're going to do theology, geography, the whole thing. So, and Spanish, because the Spanish is, if you don't know what a preposition is in Spanish, then it's Greek. In Greek it's going to be a little bit harder. If you need to know what an adverb, a preposition, an adjective, you know, and all those, you know, that good stuff in Spanish first. So we're going to do a little pre-course or pre-subject in Spanish before we go to Greek. So it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. Apart from the training in the villages, we're going to start this little seminary, and the Lord has already provided some money for materials, and I'm thankful for that. The Lord has been very gracious to us to provide for gasoline, for beans and tortillas. I do make my own hot sauce over there. They do not have very good hot sauce, but I make it. I even make my jalapeno pickled peppers, and they're very good. And Esteli is a little town in Nicaragua. It's 2 hours north of the capital. The capital is Managua. And the average rainfall is 105 inches. A little bit more than you guys have. It rains for 6 months. So, and we do have bananas, all kinds of good bananas. Please come visit us, and I'll show you the market. I do have 2 bicycles, one for going uphill in a dirty, rocky terrain, and one for going in the highway, you know, doing some exercise. Those are my vehicles, my mode of transportation in Esteli. But we do use the truck to go farther away. And we are about 2,000 feet high, above sea level. Managua is lower, so it's hotter in Managua. It's nicer in Esteli. There's mosquitoes. They do bite. Sometimes I think, is this the one that's going to give me malaria and kill me? But they love Mexican food for some reason, the mosquitoes. I'm sitting beside Mark and said, I tell Mark, why don't they bite you? Why do they bite me only? There's something wrong with this picture. And Mark says, very wisely, he says, "Thank you for sitting beside me." Okay. In 10 years, from 1985 to 1995, the Catholic population decreased in Nicaragua. It decreased 10%. And the Protestant, the Christianity grew 10%. So, it is good. We don't have a lot of persecution from the Catholic Church. Our persecution usually comes from the inside, from the same denomination, Christian denominations. You have noticed that, haven't you? So, we kind of have to fight against that, because we teach everybody who accepts us. Mostly, we do teach Pentecostal churches. because they're the ones who are more open. So most of the churches we have been training are charismatic, Pentecostal. They're more open to teaching. And we just pray that the Lord does a job, because sometimes breaking denominational issues or denominational preconceived ideas is very hard. So we're there doing that, and I think the Lord has been faithful and providing for, you know, the time to study and read and then go teach, answer some questions. Some of their questions are very, very, very deep. One pastor raised his hand, and I said, "Yes, what's the question?" And he said, "What is circumcision?" And I said, "We'll talk about that later." Okay? You know, you can, questions like that are, you know, they are funny to us, but for them, you know, they read that word and they don't know what it is, because they don't know what it is. So we have to explain what circumcision is. And we, Mark is a little bit, his sense of humor is different than mine. There's a tendency in the charismatic churches to go to the Old Testament and bring passages that apply to the law, to the Jewish people, to Israel, and apply it to the church. You know, it's very common. And so Mark talks about that, and being you know, under the law, and he usually says, "Okay, who is I'm sorry for this, but who is circumcised?" So you have 50 pastors, and none of them are circumcised. And only Mark raises his hand, because none of the Latinos, we didn't have that tradition of circumcision. So none of the pastors raised his hand. "Okay, you want to live under the law? I do have a big machete in the truck, and it's sharp. If anybody wants to really fulfill the law, we are ready." I said, "Mark, you need to quit doing that. That's the only way they're going to learn," he says, "that not to be under the law. Read the book of Galatians." Anyway, before I continue, let me read you something that I find very interesting. It's Paul writing again, Apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm reading in Colossians chapter 1. "By the will of God, it is by His will and by His grace that we do what we do. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ," or in Austin, "who are at Austin. Grace to you and peace from God our Father." What a wonderful combination. Haris and Irene. "From God our Father, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." You know, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm not here because of comfort. I'm here because I want you to know that you are in one of the churches, this very strange church, because not too many churches teach the word anymore. So you are doing something that not everybody, not all Christians are doing. You know, most churches are there for the show, for the money. You're studying the word, and you have something that a lot of Christians do not have. You have understanding. You have knowledge, and you have a good pastor that teaches you the word. I really feel at home here. Most of the churches that we visit have an electric guitar, of course, a drum set. They have some girls that dance sometimes in front and do, Hebrew music sometimes. They have all kinds of showy stuff. And even the pastors in Esteli, they told us one time that some of the pastors there, they have to take the congregation to a type of ecstasy, to emotional ecstasy to really get them going. And sometimes they cannot stop. That's basically what happens. There's not too much teaching anymore. We went to a Baptist church in Esteli one time, and we heard this minister. He was the president of a mission, and he was preaching the subject, prayer with power is very powerful. I mean, that sounds redundant, but that's what the translation in Spanish was. Prayer with power is powerful, is good, is potent. And he was using the passage where the people of Israel were complaining about the manna. They were tired of God's provision. And he was using that verse to preach about a faithful prayer or a prayer with power. And Mark and I were thinking, where does that fit? That was not a prayer. Nobody was praying with power. I mean, where does that fit with what he's teaching? And, it didn't. It was a passage where the people of Israel were complaining, and he used it to teach that prayer with power. God answers prayer with power. Well, God was not, nobody was praying with power then. As you can see how you can take a verse and preach on it for 50 minutes and with no substance, with no support of the same verse. And I heard the other day, a pastor in Oklahoma City, use the passage that talks about the millennium, where the lion and the lamb sleep together, or the kids plays with the snake. And this is the passage that talks about the church. Lion is talking about people who behave like lions. A snake is talking about people who behave like snakes. And I was thinking, where did he get those things from? There's not too many churches that are teaching right. And you are in one of them that's teaching right. That's teaching truth. And I'm proud to be your family, to be here. I'm happy because I feel at home. So my reason of coming here in front of you is really not to ask you for money. It's ask you for your prayer. It is to encourage you to continue the race. You have everything that God has provided for godliness, to live a good life, that in obedience to Him. You have everything in the Word. And if you quit studying the Word, if you quit living the Word, then we're going to have a harder trouble, doing our ministry in Nicaragua. If you quit praying, if you quit living the Word, if you quit studying. So I need you. We need you over there. We need your faithfulness. We need your commitment. We need your continual study of the Word, your living the Word. And that's why I come here, to encourage you to continue. Look at all the churches in the United States, the big mega churches. What do they do? I tell the pastors in Nicaragua, you have a 2,000 people church. You have these big orchestras. Okay, let's do an experiment. Let's bring an old guy to read the Bible in front, and let's see who stays. Not too many people will stay. Same thing is happening in Nicaragua. A lot of people are, the percentage of Christians grew up in 10 years. But what kind of Christians do we have? It's denominations that really don't study the Word. They preach, but they don't know how to study. And that's what we are trying to teach them, to study the Word. We use Foundations, and we use Not by Bread Alone, which is a book of theology, and we have training the last 2 years. After Foundations, they will know the basic Bible doctrines. And there is a table outside the door on the left side. It has several materials from BMI. Please feel free to take whatever you need. It's all on a grace basis. And the Lord allowed me to translate Foundations into Spanish. So we do have Foundations in Spanish. The Lord also allowed me to translate Not by Bread Alone. It's a 600-page book into Spanish. We have that in Spanish now. Dr. Waterhouse from Amarillo, Texas, was graciously gave us the permission to translate it and print it. And we use that. And my new translation is this book by Charlie Bing. It's called Simplemente por Gracia, Simply by Grace. And it's the newest translation I have done for the pastors in Latin America. And you know, I tell you what, for you to understand grace is very simple. I mean, we know what grace is. Charis, and you know, unmerited favor. You cannot work for it. You do not deserve it. You know, it talks about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of God. You know, the gift that's free, and it's a very simple book. It's not very big. When you see it somewhere in the bookstores, get it. It's called Simply by Grace by Charles C. Bing. And that's another book we have. I tell you what, if a lot of Christians in Latin America or in the States understand grace, we have it made. Because it's because of His grace and what He has done that we are who we are and we have what we have. It's all His grace. We are saved by grace through faith, and we live the same way by His grace through faith. That's the only way to go. Well, I will give you a challenge. If you can communicate grace to a group of pastors in Nicaragua, I'll give you 5 years to do it. Try it. You know, I don't know if you know about church history in Latin America. I know a little bit. I know that the concept of self-sacrifice, the concept of works, does not belong only to the Catholic Church. It belongs also to any pagan religion. The gods of the Aztecs sacrificed themselves for the people. The only problem was that according to the people, they never died because they were gods. But they sacrificed themselves for the people. So, but because they didn't die, they needed to look for somebody who died. So the Aztecs, guess what they did? They sacrificed a lot of people. You know, you go to those pyramids, you have these altars, you still see the spots where a lot of people was killed. You know, and that reminds me of a story of this German missionary who was a teacher in a seminary and who was very, what do you call it? You know, German people are very choleric. You be quiet, you know, things like that. And he after a class with him, he used to apologize and said, you know, forgive me because, you know, I'm German and it's my German character that comes out in me and I shout and I get mad and, you know, I'm German. And there was a little Mexican guy sitting down in seminary and he said, teacher, please forgive me for what I'm going to say, but I come from the Aztecs. And the Aztecs have a culture of killing people and ripping their hearts out and taking them out and still beating. so that's not an excuse, is it? Anyway, The history of Latin America, the history of the church is very interesting because their gods sacrifice themselves. So the concept of sacrifice and work and to placate the gods is not just a Catholic religious thing. It's also proper of the culture in our culture before the Spanish arrived. So you cannot just blame the Catholic Church for the culture of works, or just working to please and working with fear. It's just a natural thing to do. We want to do something. When the Jewish people asked the Lord, "What do we need to do to be, you know, to what do we need to do?" The Lord had to answer at their level. The Lord said, "Okay, you want to do something? This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. You want to work? Believe." So, you are communicating grace to people in Nicaragua, people in Mexico, people everywhere. By the way, people in my part of town, in Aguascalientes, it's a little bit harder because Catholic religion is a lot harder over there. There's more Catholics over there. They're more fanatic. They're more powerful. They have more money. and it's they control a lot of things. A lot of things. So in Nicaragua, it's a little bit looser. We don't have a lot of interference from the Catholic Church. We have more interference from the political area of town because, you know, the Sandinistas rule in Nicaragua. And you remember the Sandinistas, don't you? Okay. Talking about Sandinistas, Daniel Ortega just changed the Constitution. He rewrote the Constitution in a way that he could re-elect himself infinitely. So pray for the political area of the country over there, because that's where we live. And when a person can do that, but you know where the country is going, okay? So pray for that. So you're talking grace to people who have been, since the very beginning, oriented to sacrifice, to works, to, you know, I remember telling my dad, "Dad, we're saved by grace. It's only by grace. It's not something you can do." And my dad got very mad because my dad, you know, he had two big mules and he used to work the land and he was a very hard-working man. He used to get us up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We'll come back at 6 o'clock in the afternoon at home. And, you know, he'll say, "Well, we just work for a little while." It was all day. It wasn't a little while. And we were picking beans, you know. And yeah, by the way, if you pick the beans, they taste a lot better than if you just buy them at the store. Yeah. You sweat and you're very hungry when you come to the house and beans. Anyway, so my dad was a very hardworking man. But if you tell somebody like that salvation is a work of somebody else and it's a free gift, you knock down their system, the whole house. So basically that's what we're doing. When you tell somebody that you are saved by the grace of God and it's a free gift, there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can work for it, your salvation is free, you're knocking down their whole life. It's not easy. So that's why I will challenge somebody to teach grace in 5 years. That's exactly what we're doing. And I told the students, we have 5 or 6 young students at the house that come every Tuesday. And I told them, if you understand this concept, you will understand something that most Christians don't even understand yet. A lot of Christians don't understand the grace of God. If you believe you can lose your salvation, you need to study the grace of God. You need to study the work of Christ. If you believe you can do something to please God, there's something wrong with you. Because the Bible teaches differently. God is already pleased. Propitiation is because of what Christ has done. The work has been accomplished. Tetelestai. It has been paid for. It's done. It is finished. It's complete. Christ did it. We cannot do anything but believe. Pisteuo, as I would say it in Mexican accent. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's all kinds, I can tell you all kinds of stories from Mexico, from Nicaragua. But I can tell you this. Christ is the center of all this because it's his work. It is his provision that accomplishes whatever we do. Whatever we do. When we travel, it's not easy to travel sometimes. When we have a lot of boxes of books in the back of the truck, we don't have a camper shell. But it starts raining, and we are full of people in front. So guess what? We have to put all the books in front of on top of us so they don't get wet. Because when you go distribute wet books, they last a long time to dry, especially in a humid environment. And you have this book that's this thick. When it's wet, it's this thick. And you have to wait for a month or 2 months to dry. And it's hard to study that way. So we struggle with the rain sometimes. But I can tell you all kinds of stories. I will tell you this. Nicaragua, you would think, it's a poor country where they just, they don't even eat tacos. And they do have tacos, but they're not as good as the ones we have in Mexico. They're... But one time I saw this guy in he was driving one of those mule carts or horse cart, is that what you call it, cart, and he was texting, and I said, Hector, look, I never seen something like that. The guy with his hat, you know, poncho and his mules, and driving his carriage, and he was going like this. And I thought, wow, we have come too far. You have come a long way, baby. So it's a mixture. We have the old and new put together. Pray for the seminary. Pray that we can start this coming month with the right foot. And pray that we can take advantage of the Lord's grace to continue to study. I told Mark, we need to teach. We're getting old, Mark. And he doesn't like that, but we're getting old, and we need to teach what's more important, what's more, what the kids need to really last, to make an impact for the Lord. We are not going to teach how to stand up in front of a pulpit and get dressed, and, you know, and how to speak. We're praying for the Lord to indicate us what of all these subjects, what is the most important thing to do. And I think we have more or less decided what to do. But pray for our wisdom. Pray for so we can have a good brain so we can communicate the Lord Jesus Christ to the people who we are training, who God is training. We're just there to be used. I'm telling you this. I know a missionary who went to Mexico, and he only knew John 3:16 in Spanish. You would think, how can that be? Well, his name is Sam Brisbane, or was Sam Brisbane. And he went to the mountains of Mexico, where they don't even speak Spanish. They speak Cora. And there is a church standing in the state of Nayarit, in the mountains of Mexico. It's Cora Church, and he started it. Now, if God can use him, He can use you or me. God uses people who are willing to go and also willing to learn, of course. But I know a lot of stories. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of stories, but God is using us. And sometimes we feel very unworthy, and we are, because the only worthy one is Christ, really. We think about it. He's the only worthy one. And but we are thankful that the Lord has given us a ministry to the people in Nicaragua. Let's do some pictures. I don't think we have the next picture. I told Mark, I don't have any pictures to show to the churches. Send me some pictures where we are teaching. And I forgot to tell him, put people in front of it. There's people in front. There's like 50 pastors in front of me. I'm not just doing a Photoshop, you know, just to impress you. That's me. We're teaching foundations. There's foundations right there. I tell the pastors, foundations is not the Bible. You need to study your Bible. This is a tool that's going to help you do that. Next picture. That's Mark and his translator. I'm working on Mark. He thinks he cannot learn Spanish, but I'm working very hard on him. He can learn. And he does very good. When he goes to the stores, he can handle himself. And Hector is the translator. Hector is the one who lives with his wife upstairs. And he's teaching also foundation. Mark has a very good brain on his shoulders. I'm very thankful that the Lord always takes me with people who's a lot more smarter than I am. So hopefully something will rub on me. Mark likes to make people think. And sometimes I don't like that. I said, Mark, they ask you a very simple question. Why didn't you just answer it? And he says, did the Lord Jesus Christ answer the questions directly all the time? No. Okay. You made me think, didn't you? Yeah. So he likes to provoke people to think. And I like that too. You know, I'm glad. That's Mark Griffin. He's been there 11 years. And I'm his, I said, the Lord has sent me here to you to be a thorn in the flesh. Especially with the Spanish language. Okay. He's doing very good. So let's continue to the next picture. That's a small group. That's a small group. They're all leaders of different churches. It's not people of the same church. They're different churches. They come 2-3 hours sometimes walking to be trained. And we're on the other side. Anyway, that's what we're doing. They're happy to receive the training. What I'm trying to do with if you saw the book of Not by Bread Alone, it's a little bit thicker. We're not trying to give it away to everybody. We're just trying to give it away to pastors and leaders because it's a big theology book. It's a lot easier than Chafer. Because I remember when we studied Chafer in seminary, it was very hard to read. So I said, Glenn, I told him, we have the two-book version in Spanish. So I look at the Spanish, and it was the same. It's hard to read in English, hard to read in Spanish. And just Chafer has a style of writing that is not very, you know, very easy to read. Continue to the next picture. Oh, by the way, it's about 90 degrees inside. Like I said, we are 2,000 feet high, but still it's very humid. That's why we grow bananas, avocados, pineapple, papayas. You just saw me in some pictures holding some guayabas and mangoes. That's, you know, there's plenty of fruit, and it's there's mosquitoes, and everybody's sweating, including us. You know, the deodorant does not help sometimes. So there we are. Let's continue to the next picture. There's No Solo de Pan, which is one of the books that we have over there. Please grab everything. Take something. I don't want to be carrying all the car that I borrowed looks like a low rider, and I'm carrying a lot of books. I don't want to. Please take some materials. There's some applications for coins. Take some gospel coins. I have some in Spanish if you need them. I have some of these in Spanish if you want them. There's some foundations in Spanish and English. Look at the table, okay? And there's the dark guy. I don't know who that is, but let's continue. That's doing baseball. Sometimes crazy American missionaries go to Latin American countries to teach baseball, have a baseball camp. And John Ingram, is that his name? Yeah. He likes to do baseball, and we take all those kids, and they teach him baseball, and then we grab them, and we teach them the gospel, and we train those kids in good Bible doctrine. So that's what we do. It looks all green. It is all green. Okay. And there's plenty of cows. They like to eat milk, drink milk and yogurt and cream. And, you know, they all have rosy cheeks and lots of cholesterol. Okay. So that's the baseball team. Let's continue. That's the skinny man. I don't know who that is. But there's Don Hawkins and A.J. Hawkins and me. and the rest of the translators, that's what tortillas, good tortillas do to you. They have the best tortillas I have ever had in my life. Almost like my mom's over there in Nicaragua. They have good corn, good tortillas. And I'm trying to be a translator to help the kids. I usually grab my guitar too and sing with them, get them going. And the only thing I ask for the baseball guys, I ask them, do not throw a ball at me because I have a bad eye. And I see two balls, and I don't know which one to grab, so I have to kind of, you know, calculate in my mind and make an average and kind of go to the middle. And I usually catch it, but most of the time I don't. So don't throw balls at me. So we're working on a school right now, on a high school, and all the kids in front are getting the message of the gospel. Continue. That's the kids. That's me translating. There's also the other guy over there. He's a very good Christian guy, and he's also a translator. Mark has done a wonderful job of teaching English to these people. I said, Mark, if you teach them English, they're going to leave. They usually do. They come to the States, and they, you know, at least they speak English. Anyway. But his name is... That's not Yasser, that's, well, my memory is failing me. He'll come to me tomorrow maybe. But those are the kids that are getting the gospel. They all have the VMI t-shirts, and we're working on giving them. This was a session where a lot of kids are very rebellious. And I remember that we're teaching them how to, you know, obey God, obey mom and dad, and how to obey a lesson on obedience. Let's continue. Oh, Freddy. Freddy is the guy's name. His name is I call him Freddy, but his name is Freddy. And he says, that's not my real name. Well, what is your real name, Freddy? My real name is Friedrich. Friedrich. Okay, that's German. Federico. That's German. Well, my mom wanted to... there's a German team that came to the town, and one of the guys was named Friedrich. And his mom didn't know how to write it. So she just wrote Freddy in the paper when she named the Friedrich. And so anyway, they have German names, English names. There's not too many Panchos over there or Pedros. All of them, most of them are have English names like Jason, Brian, Melvin, things like that. So it's very interesting. But they speak Spanish. And that's me with the guitar. I like to sing for the kids. I'm kind of crazy with the guitar, and I sing. I know like about 30 to 50 kids' songs, and they're all very, very happy about gospel songs, you know. And the kids like to sing, make a lot of noise. So they're about the same emotional age as me. So we communicate very good. It's time to go, isn't it? Okay. I think I'm going to leave it right here and just ask for your prayer. I'm going to San Antonio, Fredericksburg, and Houston. And after that, I'm flying to Nicaragua. Thank you for listening to me and putting up with me. And thank you for continuing and being steadfast in the Word. Appreciate it.